One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ready or not, here we come. We've got another brand new episode of Survivor 46 Recaps here at Reality Daily. It is Jeremy here. And Wyatt, I found you. Come on, let's pod it together. Let's do this.
Yeah, I don't know how you found me. I was like all the way just sitting in the tree because I sure as hell can't climb up it.
Yeah, but I might have to vote you out now because you're good at hiding in plain sight, but I got you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not that good if you found me.
Yeah, which is another reason to vote you out, because how can I trust, how can I rely on you to be sneaky in the game?
Yeah, exactly. What an episode.
What an episode. Definitely the best of the season. Definitely, probably, Wyatt, I'd argue, maybe one of the best episodes in the new era.
Yeah, I think that probably is going to be there. I'm trying to think of what else competes with it. I mean, last week's episode, I think, was pretty good. I think the episode before the finale for 43, where Cody goes home, I think that one's pretty up there. But I think other than that, I feel like, I think it's got to be at least like top three.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about in this episode. We'll start right when the episode picks up. So, we see Ben. He's not super happy that Tim got voted out. And the group of five have the camp to themselves for a bit. And Q wants to take this as an opportunity to kind of strategize because he's got a lot of his alliance there. He's got Hunter there. He's got Kinsey and Tiffany there. And he's got Ben there. And he wants to come up with some next plan of action. We've seen Q is like, Q's going to dominate this episode. This is the Q episode for sure. What did you think, though, of his response to what happened, you know, right after Tribal Council?
It's so weird. Like, he was, like, annoyed that they voted out Tim instead of Ben when, you know, he was the one that floated out Tim's name first, at least by the episode last week. So, you know, he's just a guy that's so hard to please. You know, his opinions are going to sway like the wind, and I think that's why he's, like, one of the best characters that Survivor's casted in a long while. So I enjoyed that. And I also enjoyed him turning straight into, like, almost like mob boss trying to talk to like Charlie and be like, hey, can I try, you know, trying to have this conversation of like, hey, I want to work with you and everything, as he's like disgruntled at the same time.
Q is playing a very bold game. And that's something that we, you know, really saw in this episode. It, to me, it honestly felt understated before this week. But in reality, he's been making some power moves throughout the season. We go back to when the Yanni tribe tried to vote out Jess, and it was a simple vote, but Q was like, no, we're going to make a fake idol and we're going to, you know, really expose her and make sure she doesn't play her shot in the dark. Then we saw last week, obviously, Q leading the charge to vote for Tim. You know, so we have, like, Q's been known to take control of the game, but this week, I feel like on a whole new level, Wyatt.
Yeah, he's such a weirdo, because, like, at some points, he's so risk-averse, where he's like, oh my goodness, we can't give Jess a 1-in-6 shot of staying in this game, so we have to concoct this plan. But at the same time, you're going to see him say, hey, I'm okay with going home. Like, I'm okay with you voting me out. You know, and that's probably going to be a more than 1-in-6 chance of you going home, if that's the case. So it's just so crazy that he kind of, like, He's risk averse, but at the same time, there are times where he just like YOLOs. He has a bankroll at the casino, and he's like, I can only bet a dollar at a time because I don't want to lose too much. And then on the last spin, he's like, fuck it, $100.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of this episode that is very Q-focused, and there's a lot of this episode that is, you know, Nami-focused with Tevin, Venus, and Liz. So I want to stick with Q for a second. We're going to go a little bit out of order, but Q is going to be the narrator for the episode. I think he had more confessionals in this episode than any player has had in any episode this season. Maybe Banu beat him in one of the early episodes, but this is going to be the Q show. We see this whole montage about the Q skirt and how he's going to revolutionize fashion. Wyatt, these people have not eaten in 2 weeks, and it shows.
Well, it was just like one of these things where it's like, Q, not only is the Q skirt not a good idea, but like you have, you're comparing it to a kangaroo, but the way that you are putting the hoodie around you, the hood is turned around. So if you put things in, it's just going to drop right out. You have to flip it around. So at least it can kind of like actually be like a purse or actually be like a pouch. Also, this is basically, this idea is just the Snuggie, but backwards.
Yeah, I actually really like the idea, if I'm being honest with you, Wyatt. But I'll like the idea a lot better if I can get it for free.
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, and he's also going to start this hide-and-seek game. And Q is also going to have a confessional, you know, during this hide-and-seek game. And he's going to say, this is people going to think that I'm just, you know, happy-go-lucky Q. But in reality, I'm using this for strategy. And he's analyzing how these players are playing hide and seek. Charlie is going to be the one to, you know, seek, and everyone else is going to hide, and it turns into this massive game of hide and seek. And look, I think who was the first? Was it Kenzie who was the first caught?
I think so.
Yeah. But basically, Q is talking about how, like, oh, certain people, you know, how they're playing. If they are good hiders, then that's someone that he feels threatened by because they can hide in plain sight. Whereas people that get eliminated, oh, I don't like them either because I can't work with them. So it's like he reads every single person and they obviously do something wrong, whether they do good or they do bad. Everyone's now a target in Q's eyes based on this game. Honestly, Wyatt, this was definitely an out there strategic moment. Is this more strategy or more stupidity?
I think it's showing how much he overanalyzes everything. And although I do believe that hide and seek does have some potential in terms of like reading into like, you know, who's athletic, who's going to be able to do this, who is more, deceptive in terms of like they're thinking outside of the box and they're able to concoct better plans. I do think you can read some into it, but he's reading a lot into it. Venus is also reading quite a bit into it. And I think this was kind of a moment to show both of them and kind of, I guess they probably wanted to show them a little bit of a goofy type of edit where it's like, hey, these people are overanalyzing everything.
Yeah, and that is what we saw with Q. It's also what we saw with Venus. Venus is going to talk a lot in the confessional about her analysis on the hide and seek game. But before that, you know, Venus is part of this episode. Going back to, you know, the previous night, she's going to make a very public calling out of Tevin because Tevin was the only one to vote for her in the previous week's vote that set Soda to the jury. And I think that, again, another bold play that probably isn't good strategically, but we're entertained.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed last week in terms of, you know, was it the right move to get out Soda? You know, was Venus the better option? Should they have stayed Nami strong and maybe taken out Charlie? And we've discussed that ad nauseum, but it was so great to have, you know, it come back to fruition where Venus is there. They're expecting Venus to go, and then Venus is going to go ahead and just call out Tevin, like right then and there.
Yeah, and that, look, obviously, is this smart or is this dumb? Because what we've seen from Venus is maybe her intentions aren't in the best place when she's, you know, making this declaration. But I actually honestly think, Wyatt, this may help her game.
Yeah, I could see it potentially take a little bit of the target off of her because I think that the people that are playing with her are probably looking at her in the same way that Tevin is, where it's like, oh my goodness, like she's taking credit for this move. She's so oblivious to this. And they may start looking at her in the way that Tiffany does later in the episode, where she kind of calls her a little bit of a nuisance and like almost a non-threat. It's like, why would we take this person out right now? So I do think it kind of helps her because she had so much heat on her at the beginning of this merge. You know, she was somebody that was being thrown out around Mariah. She obviously had some heat in the Double Tribal as well. She was probably going to have some heat this episode as well. So even though I'm sure it doesn't necessarily, you know, help her confidence in terms of like seeing herself kind of be looked at as a non-entity on the show by the people that she played with, I do think that it probably helped get the you know, the stigma of potentially being a next boot on her. I don't think that's what she was trying to do, though. I think typically she just wants to claim the move because she wants to like show that it's on her resume. And I just think that that's a poor thing to do at all times. You know, I think you want to minimize what you've actually done in the game, so then people don't look at you as the next big threat. Because, you know, this is the new era. Everybody's thinking about big moves. And honestly, it's not just the new era. I mean, even if you go back into, like, the 30s, people were talking about resumes, and we got to get this person out and everything. So when you highlight yourself, especially when you're talking about it, when you're a little bit egotistical about the move, it is tough because it can just make you a bigger target. But I think in her case, I think her intention was to kind of boost herself up, but I do think that it probably helped her in the sense that people just didn't take her as seriously.
Yeah, because we saw later in the episode that, you know, there's more chatter about, oh, Venus has to be the next person. And, you know, Tiffany's going to speak up and say, you know what, like, I really don't feel that way because, you know, she's just going to do what she's going to do. And I feel like there could be a way where Venus, if she's able to survive a few more votes, why wouldn't people have this exact same attitude about her, you know, when it's 7 or 6 people left? And then you're getting to a point where it's like, why would I waste a vote on Venus if I know she's not going to win the game? And that's something that, you know, Tiffany is going to eventually have to notice. You know, other players are eventually going to have to notice. But it could be to their detriment, because if Venus is in the game later on, she's taking a spot that could go to someone else. And so I think that it's not necessarily a horrible play here for Venus, especially because I feel like Tiffany knows that she could probably convince Venus to target some of the guys in the game, and she's going to need some people to want to target some of the other guys to keep her around a little bit longer. But yeah, we've got some good vibes from Venus, but Tiffany, we're going to get on to later. She's not going to be super thrilled about the idea of Venus and it's going to cost her. But also, we see this ironic scene, like, back-to-back, where Venus is going to, like, kind of gloat to Tevin about last night's vote. And then Tevin's going to have his confessional where he's like, oh, my God, like, she's so crazy, she's delusional, this and that and the other. And then Tevin's going to rant about that to Liz, and Liz is going to have the exact same reaction. Oh, Tevin keeps taking credit for my move, and, you know, I have such a big ego, and it's really hard. Like, I love that she said that, Wyatt, and it has made maybe my favorite thing Liz has said in 8 episodes, because it's really, like, she knows who she is, and she's not afraid to be that person, someone who is very entertaining on reality TV.
Well, she's one of the only things that she said throughout 8 episodes. Like, she's kind of probably gotten the most purple edit, you know, other than it's, like, yeah, as long as it's not like, oh, I'm rich, like, that's pretty much all we've gotten for her, rich and food allergies. But yeah, I liked it. Listen, I think that if you want to give criticism to Venus, you have to give it to Tevin in the same capacity. Because if you claim a move publicly while the game is still going, not only can that put a target on you, but it can really irritate other people that helped you, because they feel like that they were either A, manipulated, or B, that you're taking credit from them. If they felt like that they made their own decision on their own volition and you didn't have any influence on it, even if you did, I think based on the edit, I think it's tough not to give Tevin the credit, because he is the one that's talking about Soda being a target. You also have to give it to Maria and Charlie, because they're the ones that essentially have to make that decision between, you know, what side they want to go with. But, you know, you're just going to make people feel bad. So you just can't laugh about it. You can laugh about it with Liz, but you can't, like, say, oh my goodness, Venus is so crazy, it was my move, and she's delirious. You got to say, like, it's our move. It's like, and even that I would stay away with. I would stay away from saying whose move it is. But if you're going to say it at all, I think you have to say, like, a we, or, like, you know, NAMI, or whatever it is, the alliance, whatever floats your boat there.
Yeah, but also, I want to ask you, is this the renaissance for Liz here? You know, she really, up until this point, has played a pretty good game, and she's gotten the vote to go in the way that she has wanted to every single week, even though she hasn't really been much of a driver in terms of the edit. But that being said, she was the main catalyst for Tevin going home this week, and whether or not that was the right move, it was the move that she wanted. And so for me, that at least bodes to the fact that Liz has some pull in the game, and maybe more than we ever expected, because we really haven't seen a whole lot of her.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely expected Liz to kind of be an early boot this season, and then when I kind of figured out that she was going to be in it for the long haul, you know, when Nami wasn't going to Tribal or anything, I really thought she would be kind of a non-entity, because I figured that they wouldn't show her in such a negative light, you know, early on talking about her money if she was going to go on to actually be, like, a standout character. But now I think it's interesting, because I could see Liz just going back into the shadows next week, and really for the foreseeable future, but I could also see her, you know, being like, okay, now I got my first taste of blood, now I want this person out, and really trying to essentially do what Q's doing and making sure that every single thing that happens in the game is what she wants and doing everything in her power. I'm really interested to see how her progression goes right after this.
It's another enticing character as we get down to, you know, the second half of the game. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Liz's growth is like between now and, you know, her eventual boot, which, you know, okay, I'll ask you this. We've got 9 players left. At least half of them are making the finale. Is Liz in the game come finale night?
I think so. I think so. I think that if Liz is not going to be in the finale, I think that she goes next week. That I think that her shot to leave is probably next week, because, you know,
her window is closing.
Yeah, because it's like,
and we'll
like,
see. I honestly think that this game is extremely fluid and can change on a dime at any point in the next couple of weeks, because we've seen it over the last couple of weeks here, where, you know, Tevin was essentially running the game a week ago, or so he thought, and a week later, he's out of the game. So to me, that shows this group is not afraid to make big swings, and swings that we may not necessarily expect. Because also, you could argue that taking Tevin out is not the best move for a lot of these people's games, especially when he gets every vote but one. You know, Hunter was the only one that didn't vote for him. So we'll go more in depth into this vote and everyone's reasoning for it, you know, a little closer to the end of the episode. But yeah, this, we'll go back now to Tiffany, because Tiffany is going to do something that she doesn't realize is a massive mistake for her game. She's going to talk to Q about being open to having Venus stick around for a little bit. And instead, she feels that Maria is someone worth targeting. And that was a bad idea, because Q is going to use this against her. The Secret Six alliance with Q and Tiffany, Maria and now Charlie, because Tim was voted out, and with Hunter and Tevin, is all going to target Tiffany now, because she put up Maria's name. And that was very interesting, because we have varying degrees of loyalty to this alliance. And it's showing that Q, who has only been with this alliance for a few days now, is choosing to be loyal to that instead of Kenzie and Tiffany. What do you think the reasoning is behind this?
I guess she just sees, like, Maria as somebody who's a potential jury threat.
For Tiffany.
Yeah. I think so. Maybe, you think strong
what
woman.
What it goes to show is that nobody really takes this alliance seriously. And we hear that Charlie doesn't really take it seriously. Maria's not really, you know, super in on it. Tiffany clearly isn't either, if she's targeting Maria. Q is really the only Q and Hunter and Tevin have really been the only ones to show immense loyalty to this alliance. But this is going to change when Q flips the script on Tiffany. And it seems like he has the votes to do so. Everyone is willing to do that.
I really think that Maria was interested in the alliance. You know, the way that she talks about bringing Charlie in, the way that she seems shocked by Tiffany, targeting her when Q talks to her. I really think that she was in on it. And I think that after this week, it's all basically blown to smithereens. But I do think that had they have just gotten Tiffany out this week, I do think that Maria would still kind of have the alliance in her forefront of her mind in terms of, like, who she wanted to keep moving the game with, at least for a couple more tribals.
I think a vote because what this does is Q's obviously solidified some form of trust with Maria and Charlie, because Q mentioned the idol. And that is very key. Q mentions that Tiffany is an idol, So to me, like, if I'm Maria and Charlie and Q tells me that, that is a sign that Q really does want to work with me.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you are under the impression that Tiffany is his duo. Not only is she, did he bring her into the six, but if you remember what Banu was spilling out during that reward, he said, oh, Q and Tiffany are such a big duo. So for him to be turning on his duo to give you information, you have to now feel that not only is he not as close to Tiffany as I thought, but, you know, I'm now probably his number one. You know, if he's turning on the duo and giving me that information and selling them under the bus, I'm probably, you know, taking their place.
And I'm going to be honest, Wyatt, I feel like Q's moves in this game, despite there being a little bit of antics around it, I honestly feel like he's made a sound, strategic, reasoned move at every step this game, including this. I think it is in his best benefit to get Tiffany out. And here's why. I really think that although voting Tiffany out hurts his short-term options, it increases his long-term options, because when you get to five, assuming that he wants to stick with that alliance minus Tiffany, he's got Charlie and Maria on one side, Hunter and Tevin on the other. That gives him the chance to move to either Nami or Sega. And that is control, and that is power. And that is what Q's game is about. Q's game is about being the one driving the ship, whether or not he is driving it over his grave, because he just wants control. And this is a very dangerous way to play, but if it works tenfold.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Q is looking at this as like, hey, people like me don't win Survivor anymore. And I don't necessarily believe that, but I think that's what he thinks. And I think he says, as an athletic guy, I got to really just like have control of the game. You know, he can't win a game like Gabler. He can't win a game like Erica. He's a little bit under the radar. He's got to really just like take the ball and be the leading point getter, the leading rebound getter, the leading assist. He's got to do everything. And I agree that he's like making decisions to kind of benefit that. I just don't necessarily know if I like cutting Tiffany at this point, just because I get what you're saying, where it's like, hey, you can have the two on Sega and the two on Nami, and then you can kind of decide where to go at five. The problem is that you are unlikely to get in a situation where you're being taken to Final Three at four. You're unlikely to split votes on the people, because it's probably going to be one and one, or at the best two and then one. I just think that with Tiffany, I just think that she's probably a bigger threat than somebody. I kind of think that the best move for him would have been just to push Venus as the vote, because Venus has already been outspoken about, you know, wanting to get the guys out. And who knows if that's still what she wants or not. But from what we see, there's no real talking between Q and Venus. He's actually, I think, a little bit intimidated by her. So if that's the case, let's just go ahead and get her out, and let's worry about Tiffany maybe at like eight or seven. Or, I mean, if you're going to go after anybody on your OG Yanu tribe, you probably want to get out Kinsey first, because you know you don't trust her either. And she's arguably a bigger threat at this point, because she's connected to Ben, where from what we've seen on the edit, I have a hard time thinking, who is Tiffany's number one that's not Kinsey? Like, outside of that tribe, who is she connecting with the most? I'm sure there's a good answer, but not one that we've been able to see.
Yeah, I mean, she's targeted Maria, so it's probably not her. It's probably not Charlie. I don't think it's Ben. She was talking about how she wanted Ben out. And then maybe it's Liz. We really haven't seen a whole lot of that. But also, Liz was the one pushing for Tevin to go over Tiffany. So perhaps maybe there's something there, but I don't think it's necessarily Liz wanting to keep Tiffany, more as it was her wanting Tevin to go. And so, yeah, Tiffany needs to pick up her game beyond her tribe, because she very well could have gone this week. It was pretty close for her to go. I think she got a little bit lucky because of Liz, honestly. I think if, you know, Liz hadn't pushed so hard, I don't know if this vote would have happened, and probably ends up in Tiffany going home. But let's get to this immunity challenge. It's hang on for a poll as long as you can. And Jeff's going to ask for the opportunity to sacrifice the immunity challenge for the rice. Now, Wyatt, if you are in this, let's say you are the invisible 11th member of this tribe, or however many people there are. Are you sitting out or are you playing?
I mean, most of the time I would sit out just because I know I'm not winning this. I think this type of challenge is probably the best to do this type of bargain because, you know, it isn't luck. Like, it's something that you kind of have a good idea of how you'll do. And some people think they'll do well and they do absolutely terrible. But I would know that I'm probably not going to win as a heavier set individual. With that being said, if I'm completely on the outs, and I think that, like, maybe my name was being thrown around last tribal, I would have to at least give it a go because, you know, I really need immunity at this point, especially if I have no advantages or shot in the dark or anything like that. And I think that's kind of, I said that it was probably the best challenge to do it. It may be the worst challenge to do it because you are going to have people that are going to step forward not really knowing or knowing that they're not going to win. You see Q later on, he's like, oh my goodness, like, how did you guys think you're going to beat Hunter? He was Tarzan. He was climbing up the tree during hide and seek. If they did this during like a challenge that was like memory or like mental or like when you had to balance a ball on something, a lot more people be more confident in that. And that may be what you want as Survivor, where it's like really like, I'm really giving up immunity here, where Q and Liz just felt like they had no shot of being able to win.
Yeah, or maybe, like, don't, but the thing is, they want people to step forward. So that's why you do a challenge like this where you can get a gauge from people before they even start as to whether or not they would do it or not. I think they want them to accept the offer. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had the team with. So if I'm on this tribe, I'm looking around, I look up at Hunter. I remember literally the scene before where he was climbing up the tree. I would immediately step off. Like, I wouldn't even, like, let Jeff finish the sentence. I'd be like, I'm doing it. I'm not winning. It's silly. It's stupid. Unless I was in, say, the absolute dire of situations. But I doubt it was all eight of them that decided to not sit out. I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm sure some people felt comfortable, but not comfortable enough to sit out. And, you know, there's also kind of a negative stigma if you do step forward, where it's like, hey, this person feels so safe that they're not going to be able to win, especially if they think that you have a potential chance. You know, if you step forward and you're a guy that's in good shape or a girl that's in good shape, they're probably going to be like, oh, I think this person's probably a little bit too comfortable. But I don't think anybody was looking at like Q or Liz and say, hey, I think this person's probably going to win because of how well. And even if you take Hunter out, my guess would have been that somebody like Venus probably would have won. And she did pretty well as well, kind of being a smaller person of all the other tribe mates.
Oh, I would make it very abundantly clear that I was stepping down because I did not think I would win.
Yeah, that's probably the best
like,
way
I would guess. I would just be straight up. I'd be like, I really just, as much as I want to try to win, like, I want to try to get us some food. And I really genuinely feel like, win this challenge. Yeah. And I try to make it so that I am at least doing things for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm tired of this though. Like, I liked what Jeff did last season when he like cut the bag of rice and did everything. But I am happy that they basically held to their guns and didn't agree to Jeff's demands, whether it was for the immunity or the vote, because I'm hoping that they'll change it up because it was fun the first time they did it. Going six seasons on, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, it has maybe run its course, much like a lot of the new era, you know, twists and tricks. And this one, I wouldn't be surprised if we see it again. I also wouldn't be missing it if we see it go. But yeah, Hunter's going to win this challenge. Charlie and Venus are in the final three with him, but it was very clearly Hunter's challenge from the jump. So we go back to camp. Q's not thrilled that this is the way things have gone with the challenge, and it seems like he wants to keep on this train of voting Tiffany out. Tevin is going to be on board, but Liz is going to throw a wrench in these plans. Obviously, Liz is not in the six, so that is a big reason, I think, why this vote moved in the fashion that it did. And Liz pushing for Tevin was pretty easy, honestly, for her. I'm glad that she stuck to her guns, put a move into motion on her own, but again, very difficult, but I think she was able to identify the fact that there was enough people to vote for Tevin out this round, and she may not have gotten that chance down the line because she was able to really, Like, Venus obviously was in on the plan. I think that was where she started, because it was easy for her to kind of, you know, get her vote first. And then you reach out to Sega, and then Sega's like, well, I don't have any reason to vote out. And, you know, Maria and Charlie are going to discuss the fact that, you know, they weren't really in the alliance to begin with, to start. So she's able to get a lot of numbers pretty quickly. And Kenzie's also going to be on board with this, because she obviously has no attachment to the six either. And Tiffany also is going to, I think, reluctantly be on board. But when she tells Q that it does seem like the votes are towards Tevin, Q's not super happy.
Yeah, he's definitely not. And, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at the Liz move this week, and they're starting to theorize, like, hey, could Liz actually win this game? Is she somebody that they're kind of putting into motion where maybe she can kind of be that WTF winner in the same way of Eric and Gabler, where nobody was really expecting it for most of the season, and at points probably counted those people out? For me, I don't necessarily see it that way. I think it's hard to rule out anybody in this age of Survivor. Edits that we have gotten, but I kind of think that this is something that Survivor, their hand was almost forced. They had to show Liz in the driver's seat this week, because as we see, she talks to everybody. I'm not sure if anybody was spreading this plan around other than Liz, because we see her, she talks to all three Sega members. She talks to Ben, Charlie, and Maria. Then we see her talk to Venus. Then we see Ben talk to Kenzie, but then later on we see Liz talk to Kenzie and Tiffany. So it seems got around to everybody. And I know that people are like, oh, I think Liz may actually have an outside chance of winning, or at least she's going to be a little bit more of a dominant player. I really just think that she almost forced Survivor's hand, where it was like, you can't purple edit me this episode, because I'm going to absolutely steamroll everything. Well, you can't tell a cohesive story without including me in it.
Yeah, and we're really going to get a pretty interesting last scene before tribal, because when Q gets this information, he's going to push it to Hunter. And that is not the smartest move for Q, because Hunter is then going to get every single person involved, this 6-person alliance that he thought was going to vote for Tiffany is now not going to do that. And that is problematic for him, because Tevin is his number one. And, you know, in a way to where he doesn't include Tevin in on the mess. So Tevin, so that to me makes me think that Hunter is thinking about playing some idol for him and not like, I don't know. It what it tells me is Hunter is trying to be the king of the information here. And he's going to decide, you know, whether he feels the need to also vote for Tevin. Maybe he uses the idol for him. Maybe he uses the information, you know, for something else. Maybe he tells Tevin at tribal. Like, there's so much that could have happened with that. But Hunter's first thought is, I need to try to save Tevin.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, have kind of looked at Hunter's attempt there as a little bit hasty and a little bit ill-prepared, and maybe not necessarily a good accolade in Hunter's camp in terms of, can this guy actually strategize? But I just feel like, under the pressure of, like, hey, being told right before tribal that your ally's going and there's nothing you can do, I kind of think that Hunter did the right thing here, instead of just, like, trying to pull people one by one. You probably weren't going to get through everybody. You definitely weren't going to have a majority that way. I think the only way that you can actually switch the vote is to have an open conversation. And as messy as it was, I think it has to be messy if you actually.
Yes, and I think that Hunter's target is going to continue to grow, but Tevin not being right next to him does shrink it a little bit. You know, he's not going to go unnoticed, but having Tevin not in the game, I think, genuinely helps him long term.
Definitely, and I'm interested to see where he goes from here, because as a strategic piece, like, I think he could be crucial for a lot of people, because, like, we're looking at, like, pretty, a lot of fragmented. You know, we're not looking at like the Reba four like we are last season. We're looking at like Tiffany and Kinsey are close. You know, Charlie and Maria are close. And it seems like everybody else is kind of a little bit of a free agent at this point, right? Like Q, wild card over what happens this episode. Hunter, probably going to be a big threat, probably a big physical threat. And then you have Venus and Liz. Venus is kind of considered to be, like Tiffany said, a non-entity. And but you need her at some point, right? Especially if you're not going to get her out, especially if you're looking at her as being somebody that you're going to carry along. You have Liz as well, and then you have Ben. I guess Ben is like one of the biggest key pieces because he's kind of in between those two duos. He's made this friendship with Kinsey, but he also has this friendship with Charlie as well. So I'm really interested to see how this game is going to progress. And I think as much as people may look at Hunter and say, hey, Hunter is like this big immunity threat, we got to take him out. It's like, if you take out Hunter, like, what is your plan to get to the end? I think for a lot of people, it's a lot more question marks if you take out Hunter. So I'm really interested to see if people just zone in on him and say he's got to go as soon as he loses immunity, or is he going to be somebody that can kind of, like, fracture his way into the game strategically instead of having to, like, win immunities and idols and everything like that to get to the end?
I mean, we've seen it before. Like, Jonathan was able to get to the Final Four in 42, and that's, like, the biggest example, I guess you could argue. He's like, his storyline has been very similar to Jonathan's was, you know, 2 years ago. But I think that Hunter has a better outlook on the game without Tevin than with him. And, you know, we'll see kind of we'll talk about the nine remaining players after we get through this tribal. But this tribal starts off with a bang because Q is going to ask to be voted out. Now, Wyatt, what was your initial reaction when you saw that?
So, as you know, I was unfortunately spoiled about this episode before I got a chance to watch it. So I did know that Q was going to do this, and I did know that Q was not going to be successful and that Tevin was going to go. So it didn't hit as the same way for me as it probably did for you. But I really think that the discourse has been, you know, was Q doing this as game or was Q doing this as a way to actually leave? And I truly do believe in my whole heart that he was doing this as strategy. Now, do I think he was probably okay with leaving if it, you know, didn't go his way? I do, because I think that Q's like biggest fear is losing at Final Tribal. I think the idea of like playing a I don't want to say a bad game, but playing not a winning game and being declared as like somebody that doesn't deserve votes or a jury vote, I think it's probably a little bit harsher for him to handle than just being voted out and blindsided. So I think for him, he probably looked at it as, hey, I think this is maybe a way to cause a little bit of disruption, and then maybe we can get out somebody that's not Tevin, whether that was Tiffany or Venus or whoever. I felt that's probably what he was trying to do, but I understand that some people look at it and say, hey, he probably wanted a way out. He's been talking about this since he was on the Yanu camp and everything. And I just think that it's going to be so interesting to see how his explanation of everything goes when he gets back to camp.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I saw what happened, I never really thought it was real. I never really thought there was a chance. I just kind of thought it was theater. And it was. And so because when they're starting to strategize, it's like, well, obviously Q's like, obviously they don't want Q to just go. We're not going to have a situation like we saw earlier in the year where like they didn't even vote for Banu. You know, so like this was to me, it never crossed my mind that Q was actually the one to go. And if it was, my God, what a horrible letdown this episode would have been compared to, you know, what we got in the first half. So I'm really glad that it ended the way it did. What a wild fucking tribal that ended in everyone just voting for Tevin.
Yeah, which is odd because I really don't know why Charlie and Maria would be on board for this. I just think that if you have somebody like Tiffany that is like against you, Maria, and, you know, Charlie, like, that's your right-hand person, I just feel like you would still want to do that. And I understand if, like, the numbers aren't going to be there, but it seemed like that if they really wanted to, they could have at least, like, tied the votes, like, 5-5, because they would have Q, they would have Tevin and Hunter as well. I just really feel that is not being explained to us. And this has happened with Maria a lot. Like, we still really don't know why Maria went ahead and targeted Jim as opposed to any of the guys, especially since she doesn't seem to be as close with somebody like Ben anymore. And we're just not really getting a lot of her perspective, but I'm interested to hear what Charlie's perspective is on it. But I don't think we're even going to get it, because I think when we get to the next episode, it's not going to be about why we voted for Kevin. It's going to be about what the hell is Q doing.
Yeah, I think that they were really like, I wonder how many people felt like they just were going with the majority on this vote. I feel like Charlie and Maria probably thought, oh, well, there's nothing we can really do.
But it's like, you know that you can, because you have Hunter that's like, you know, rushing over there. You know, obviously Tevin's going to vote however, you know, he can to stay. And then you have Q, who brought the plan to you. My question is, did Q potentially tell Charlie and Maria, we got to get out Tevin at some point? And it just wasn't shown, because that would have maybe tipped the hand of who was actually going. That's the only thing I can think about. I think they have to have a thought that Q is actually going to flip. Otherwise, they would say, hey, at least we have 5 votes, and maybe we can get Venus to flip on a revote or something. Like, I don't know. I just look at that as, like, I can't imagine that they just went along with the majority because they thought there was no shot. I think there had to have been a reason there, and we just weren't given it, and we won't be given it.
Yeah. There was a lot going in on that vote, and, you know, we're going to find out exactly who benefits from the vote and who doesn't. But usually when 8 people are willing to vote out the same person at final 10, someone gets screwed.
Yeah, definitely.
Multiple people are going to look back at this as maybe the moment where they lost the game unknowingly. Because I do think that a lot of people are seeing this as a positive move for their game. But, I mean, who does not benefit from this? Other than obviously Hunter, who didn't vote for him because that's his number one ally. But who really doesn't benefit from this move?
I would say Charlie, Maria probably don't, at least in the short term. I mean, Tevin's probably a harder person to beat in the end than Tiffany at this moment, because like we talked about earlier, we have a hard time thinking, like, who is Tiffany connected to other than Kinsey? We're not seeing it on the screen. We're with Tevin. You know, he's obviously got the connections with the Alliance. You know, how much of that they know, I don't know. I actually think that I think I might have solved my own question, Jeremy. Let me put this out to you. Is the reason that Maria and Charlie turned on Tevin because the Alliance got exposed? Because when Hunter goes over there and tries to talk, he's talking about the 6, the Alliance. You know, he's talking in very broad terms. Liz is there. So is it possible that he was looking at this, they were looking at this as like, hey, like, we had to get this stigma of this potential alliance off of us, because if it is 5-5, they may, you know, willing to go to rocks. And if we don't feel like we really trust, you know, Tevin, Hunter, and Q to the end of the game, then why would we, you know, go into something like rocks? I wonder if that is maybe the reason why.
I think they knew that, I think, Kenzie, Tiffany, Venus, Liz, and Ben, we're all going to vote for Tevin. And when you have 5 votes on them, there is no reason to force a rock draw at that point. Because if you do, I mean, even if you tie the vote and you flip, like, you're showing cards for no reason. So I feel like this was just their white flag. Like, they just really felt like they couldn't. And they wanted Q in on the plan because they told him about the idol. So they obviously trust Q.
I just think that, like, imagine yourself as Maria, and this person, Tiffany, is coming after you, and there's 5 votes on somebody that is, you know, in your alliance. And even in the extra interviews, Tevin says that him and Maria had quite a bond for that Jelinski rug pull they did in the beginning of the season. And it's like, not only is your potential ally going, but the person that is gunning after you is in the game with an idol. And it's like, wouldn't you take the time to say, hey, we got 5 votes, let's work on somebody like a Venus, let's work on somebody like a Liz, like, let's try to flip, let's work on somebody like a fucking Ben who's on our tribe. Like, don't you think that you would at least like put that, at least try to flip it? And maybe they did, you know, maybe they did, and they said, okay, none of them are flipping, all of them are rock solid, we don't want to do the rock draw, let's do it. Maybe they went into tribal and said, hey, we're actually gonna vote for Tiffany here, and then the Q quit kind of threw everything off, where they're just like, okay, well, let's just stack on Tevin, so, you know, it doesn't blow back and we go home with like two or three votes or something like that. Maybe that was it too. I just feel like it's hard for me to see how Charlie and Maria are in a better position, because especially Maria. Charlie, I guess, is kind of like, he's kind of a little bit innocent, right? Because it's like, yeah, he's in the quote-unquote six, but he's not really in the six. Nobody really feels close to Charlie in that six for that reason, other than Maria, right? Because he's just like the new like exchange student that just came in. But I definitely think for Maria, it's really tough to see this as like a positive move.
Well, I will say this. Like, we know that after this tribal council, Yanu is going to be targeting each other. And we know that Nami is also going to be targeting each other to an extent. So the fact that they are able to create, you know, these like cracks within the other two groups, it makes Siga the strongest. So, but I don't necessarily think that, because what they do is they save Tiffany for another round, and they have Tiffany with her gun pointed at Q. So that to me is probably like why Tevin is maybe the right vote here. But also, I think the main reason is they didn't have the votes to flip it, and they just wanted to appease the majority. But let's do this now, right? We've got 9 players left. Let's do this. Let's break them into the bottom 3, the middle 3, and the top 3. The final 3, if you will. I think you and I can agree on the bottom 3 together. And then what we'll do is we'll create our own middle 3 and top 3. So let's eliminate 3 people, the people with the least chance to get to the end.
Now, is this who can make it to the finale, or who's got the chance to win?
Who can make it to the finale?
Okay.
Then the next one will be more about separating potential winners from goats. But for this one, let's target 3 people that we think are not capable of making it to the finale.
So at this point in time, I think Q has to be there, based on what's happened this episode. I think that I really think everybody else has a real shot. But I think I would probably go Venus as my next pick. And I think for the last pick, I would probably go Hunter, even though he has an idol and can win immunities and whatever. I do think they'll look at him as like, hey, we got to take the shot when he's vulnerable.
I think you've got 2 seats in there, Wyatt. I think Q and Venus are not on anybody's radar at this point.
Well Q's definitely going to be on people's radar.
But I don't think Q really has many enemies, other than perhaps Tiffany and Kenzie. I really think everyone else is thinking, why would I want Q out? Charlie and Maria definitely are aligned with him. Hunter, that's probably his new number one, because they're both from around the same area. Not only that, but Hunter, like Q is the one that told Hunter about the Tevin vote. Hunter's not going to want to target Q anytime soon. And for that matter, Liz isn't either. Like, why would Liz want to target Q? I don't see the reasoning for that. And for the record, like, why would Venus want Q out? It doesn't really help her game either.
He's not working with her.
Chances of getting to the end with this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a little bit tougher to do who's going to make it to the finale as opposed to who's going to win. Because in the finale, I do think that all 3 of these people can make it. But for me, what I'm looking at is like, yeah, could Q maybe be dragged along as a goat? I do. But I think nobody's really going to be able to trust him to that point. Now, do I think he's going to go out next week? I don't. But I definitely think he could go out at 8 or 7 prior to the finale, assuming we get a 6-person finale. Because I just don't think you have to have trust in people if you're going to take up to the end of the game. And because he did this show and didn't tell anybody, even if he wants to paint this as a strategy, and even if it was, he didn't tell anybody about it, completely threw everybody for a loop. Do you trust that person to go to the end? Because you have to have trust. And I just don't know if anybody's going to be able to trust him. And I think it's going to be a lot easier for other people to trust. I really think that we are probably looking at a Kenzie, Tiffany, Ben, Charlie, Maria. That's kind of how the way I see this shaping up. I think they'll work together for at least a couple votes, and I think the other people are on the outs. I think that Venus, just because she has no allies, I think that she's going to have a hard time. Still at this point, even though we're at final 10, we're not seeing anybody take up Venus's like desires to work with them. We're not seeing anybody approaching Venus about an alliance. We're not seeing Venus's attempts be, you know, helped out at all. So it's like, okay, eventually, like, they're going to say, hey, I trust everybody else but this person. Let me boot them. And I think for Hunter, just because I mentioned earlier, I think that they'll maybe be a little bit too worried about him being an immunity target. So I could see that being a case. And I guess Liz would be the next person that I would think is the less likely, because she still, from what we know, doesn't have any allies. You know, we're not really seeing anything. Yeah, she put this plan together, and that's great, but we're just not seeing anything in the edit that would make you think, okay, Liz is definitely working with these people long term. We're not seeing that. We're seeing it with the other people. And I think with those two duos, with Ben as the cream in the middle of the Oreo, I could see them just sticking together until the finale.
I think at least one of Liz, Q, and Venus has endgame potential.
For sure.
I don't think any of them can win, and neither with Hunter. So let's move into the next five, the five that you mentioned. The three Siga, Ben, Charlie, Maria, and our two other Yanu, Kenzie and Tiffany. Which three do you think have the best chance to win?
The best chance to win of those five, I think Charlie, Ben, and then I think Maria's definitely at the bottom of the five. I think she might even have the least winner equity of the entire group. Just because it's like, man, like, why are we not seeing enough of her? Like, why are we not seeing her opinions on stuff? Why is it always just Charlie and not Maria? But I think Kenzie and Tiffany are so neck and neck, right? You see more positivity in terms of, like, quote unquote, winner edit with Kenzie. But I think Tiffany's probably well positioned. She has the idol and everything. So I'm going to say Tiffany as my third right now, but I definitely think it's Charlie one, Ben two. And I do think there's a gap, and I think it's probably like Tiffany, Kenzie, and then another gap. And then I think we get into the four that I think potentially are on the chopping block, before we get down to Maria.
Yeah. I think we got Ben, Charlie, and Kenzie as the top three for me in terms of winner equity. I think Tiffany has a shot, but obviously after this week, her chances are not as high. And I just don't see winner in Maria, and I don't see it with Liz either. I really do think, like, would you take Ben, Charlie, and Kenzie over the field at this point?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I still think Tiffany's in there with a good shot, but you got to take, if I think only four people are really, like, super capable of winning, I have to take three of them over one in the people that I don't. With that being said, I have a hard time ruling out anybody other than Maria. Like, if Maria won, I would be so shocked, just because I think that Maria, just on paper, as an older woman, somebody that is good in the confessionals, I think, who great in challenges, you know, so tough, has seemed to kind of had her pulse on the game the entire time. You know, she's basically in the middle of that Siga tribe pre-merge. She seems to be in the middle of this tribe as well. She's in the city. There's no reason for her not to be edited bigger if she was going to win. So I have a hard time thinking that she's going to win. Although if this was Big Brother and this was happening live, I would definitely put Maria a lot higher. She might even be my one. But just because I know how reality TV, to us, at least I like to think, is edited, I have a hard time putting her anywhere but nine. But I do think that people like Liz, Venus, and Q, and Hunter can all win. But I think especially in the case of like somebody like a Venus or a Liz, I do think it's going to take a Gabler-like circumstance for them to be able to win.
Yeah, and we've got about a month to go before our finale. The finale is out on May 22nd, so we've got one episode left a year in April, followed by four in May. Should be a fun finish. You know, for the season to start as slow as it did, these last 2 weeks have really picked things up, especially this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the end goes, Wyatt, and we'll be here each week talking about it here at Reality Daily.
Absolutely. Super excited about the season. It's a lot better than 45, at least in my opinion. You know, I think at this point in the 45 season, we kind of knew how it was going to go. We might have not said that D was 100% going to win, but we definitely felt really good about her, and we kind of knew who was going to be in that finale.
Sure.
yeah, we definitely kind of had an idea of who would make the finale and who wouldn't. Now I think there's just a lot more up in the air, even though there are kind of a clear have and have nots groups. But make sure you're sticking around. You know, me and Jeremy, we also talk about the Amazing Race. We're talking about the Challenge All-Stars. Naveed helps out with that as well. And if you want to leave us any comments or anything, our social media is Reality Daily Pod. Please do us a favor, rate us 5 stars wherever you're listening to us. It really helps the algorithm. We're just very passionate about reality TV, and we want to kind of reach out to as many people as possible. All right. Appreciate you all for listening. Until next time.